How's everybody doing tonight?
Good.
Doing good? Good. Been a good day today, and hope everybody has had a good day as well. And, of course, we've got Lily and Tyler with us tonight. They've sat in a few times, and the school today took a trip to Rome. So to Rome and back to Powder Springs one day. Rome, Georgia, that is. And but anyway, they went and watched the, I guess it was formerly the Rome Braves, but now it's the Rome Emperors. Yeah, and so they got a little son back there and sitting out there at the stadium today having a good time. But anyway, that's what was going on with them and Grace today. And again, it's just good to be here tonight. I just want to remind everybody that we'll be leaving town for a few days tomorrow morning. And so not going far, going about a stone's throw from here, Blue Ridge. And so that way if we have to come back, we can. Just a short trip. But thank you for allowing us to be away just for a few days. And we got the pulpit covered for Sunday, and Brother Allen and CJ will be covering that. Allen in the morning, CJ at night. I appreciate them. And so we're going to try to go to Blue Ridge and maybe ride that train I keep hearing about. But anyway, it's going to be a good time. And thank all of you for your birthday cards, the gifts, Miss Vicki. And we appreciate that so much. And all of the others who gave to us. Brother Ceylon and everybody, the church, on behalf of the church, beautiful card, and great work with that, Miss Lee Ellen. Thank you so very much. We appreciate that. Had a good cookout Sunday night, and Brother Larry and Blue Jackson was on the grill, and appreciate Brother Randy and putting our pictures on the screen like he did and making good fun of us, and we appreciate that. Brother Randy's. We'll make sure I tell everybody thank you for all the special touches from Sunday. Had a good time, good birthday weekend. All right, I do want to jump right into our prayer requests and announcements. Miss Shirley Townsend is home, but she is recovering from her pneumonia, so continue to remember her. Can y'all hear me okay? All right. Just remember her, if you would, in your prayers. Brother James, several others. I'll just go through the list. Our children's home and staff, of course, children, and our young people tonight, we just found out, are going to the movies. And so they're going to go watch Unsung Hero. And so they're going to that. So remember them. Remember Don and Carl Rich over in Peru. Remember Miss Claudia Darby with her health, Brother Harold, the Palmers, Miss Connie Norton, the Ely's, the Ashworths, the Daly's, the Clantons, the McCrickards, Joyce Manning, James Tolan Brown, and the Marines, Kevin Brook, Champion Christian College, and just remember those things. Has anybody got an announcement, a prayer request, a praise? Miss Lee Ellen? Okay, thank you for bringing that up. Gibbs Garden, Friday, May 10th. And sign-up sheet will be here. If you want to go to that, please sign up and make arrangements for that. And I believe you can buy tickets there. You can. So remember that. Also, next Thursday will be the Ladies' Prayer Brunch, Fellowship Hall. Remember that, ladies. Thank you for those who do come to that. It's always a great time. I came to one of them myself and had a good time with the ladies at the prayer brunch. So you ladies just remember that. And of course, we have a new bulletin coming out for the month of May this Sunday. That was done yesterday, and it'll be posted either tomorrow or Friday. And so you can stay in tune up to that and everything. of what's going on. All right. Any other prayer requests, updates, praise Ms. Glenda? Yes. Let's remember this tonight. Thank you for sharing that. Anyone else? Yeah, we sure will. Yeah. Let's remember this request tonight. Anybody else? All righty. Well, that's all we got. Like we do every Wednesday night, let's all come, those that can, and would like to have a time of prayer together, and then Brother Jeff have a song for us.
All stand. We're gonna do a chorus. The choir has done this numerous times. Good portion of you are in the choir, so you'll be quite familiar with it. It's Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary. There it is. All right. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you. say the heart and soul of every man. It is you, Lord, who knows my weakness. You give me strength with thine own hand. And the chorus. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving I'll be a living sanctuary for you. Lead me on, Lord, from temptation. Purify me from within. Fill my heart with your Holy Spirit. Take away all my sin.
The chorus again.
Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving I'll be a living sanctuary for you.
One more time.
Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving I'll be a living sanctuary for you.
Thank you, Brother Jeff. Special touch on the music tonight. And one of our choir songs. That is very good. Different, fresh, and the words of that song, Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, a place that God could dwell and where we could worship Him and He could use us. What a blessing tonight. Here recently on Wednesday nights, we've been getting into some Bible doctrine. Truths of the Bible, foundational truths, things that we, of course, hold to in everyday life. We talked about sanctification on one particular Wednesday night. Last Wednesday night, we looked at the subject of working out your own salvation. Not working it in, but working it out. And we dealt with that, and that was an encouraging lesson as I studied and prepared for that, as sanctification was. Tonight I'm going to look at something a little different, and I want to talk about depravity. Depravity. Dealing with depravity, or the doctrine of depravity. What is depravity? What's the meaning of that word, depravity? Basically, it's wickedness. It's the wickedness that mankind possesses because of the original sin in the garden. We know because of Adam's sin, the bloodline of humanity was tainted. And so it really goes without saying that whenever a child is born, you don't have to teach a child how to lie and how to steal. Those things come naturally. And that's because we are natural born sinners. And tonight, I want to look at just 2 points. The meaning of depravity, which we just started to get into. But then the manufacturing of depravity. What does depravity manufacture? And I think tonight, if we get a better understanding of ourselves, then we can better fortify ourselves in our Christian walk. We can see things before they get here, meaning struggles and heartaches and setbacks, things like that. And maybe we can plan to make better decisions around the things before they even get to us. So, number one, the meaning of depravity. We said it's wickedness. It is the state that man is in because of that original sin in the garden. But the term depravity is used to refer to the condition of man. The term is often referred to as total depravity. Now, we're not talking about Calvinism here, and we're not going to get into Calvinism because some of us don't even know what Calvinism is, and so I'm not going to plant questions in your mind trying to prove this point or talk about this point. But the condition of man, depravity, and it's also referred to as total depravity because a person is completely and totally depraved and under sin's control. Total depravity. And depravity has to do with God's estimation of sinful man. God knows the hearts and lives of all men and declares all men are sinners. Turn, if you would, to Romans chapter number 3. Romans chapter number 3 and verse number 10. Romans 3, verse number 10. Listen to this for just a moment. Romans 3, verse 10. The Bible says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. This is in reference to who we are as humans born into this world. There is not one born righteous. There is not one righteous person outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we see that there in verse number 10. And then verse number 23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So men, women, boys, and girls are born depraved. We have this sinful, wicked nature because of what Adam did and Eve did in the Garden of Eden. And again, the term is often referred to as total depravity because a person is completely and totally depraved, under sin's control, bankrupt spiritually before God. And again, the Bible here in Romans 3, 10 and 23 tells us our condition. We are sinners. There's none righteous. Now, in our society, there is a moral and ethical scale whereby men are judged to determine their social standing, and for this reason, men are divided into different classes. So in society will say this person's either bad, good, or great. All right? Well, when it comes to God's divine scale, all men are in the same class. All men, boys, girls, women, are all sinners and in a depraved state. And so when men are judged by their Creator, we all fall short. Again, Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So tonight, depravity has to do with a man's condition, his state of being. Listen to this. It is not man's conduct that makes him depraved. It's not what we do that makes us depraved. It's our state. It's not our behavior, but it's our condition. We sin because we're sinners. That's why we sin. We don't commit sin, therefore we're sinners, but we do what's natural because we are natural born sinners. And so man at best is man. We are a depraved human being who is unable to earn their way to heaven. And because of that, we're unable to do anything righteous or good. And because of that, Jesus came to bridge the gap. You know, you heard it your whole life, I'm sure. And like I preached on Sunday, Jesus came to open up that new and living way so that we can go to heaven when we die, so we can overcome our depravity here on earth, so we can have victory. And so all men are under sin. Again, depravity has to do with a man's condition, his state of being. It is not man's conduct that makes him deprived, or depraved rather, but it's his state. And not his behavior, but his condition. So all men are said to be under sin. The meaning of depravity. Now, I do want to spend a little while tonight and look at the manufacturing of depravity. What does depravity manufacture? Sin. Because of our depraved nature, we sin. Now, in the Bible, there are several different words used to describe sin. And again, this is the manufacturing of depravity is what we're talking about. Number one, there's the word transgression. Turn, if you would, to 1 John chapter number 3. 1 John chapter number 3, in verse number 4. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. What does the word transgression mean? The word transgression means, and it refers to, man's personal sin when he oversteps the bounds which God has marked. A transgression is a violation of God's law. It is knowing what God's law is and willfully stepping over God's law and saying, I'm going to do what I want to do. This is a transgression. 1 John 3, 4 again. Sin is the transgression of the law. It is man's personal sin when he oversteps the bounds which God has marked. A transgression is a violation of God's law. And so the manufacturing of depravity has to do with sin or transgression. Then there's the word iniquity. Titus chapter, we're going to do a little bit of Bible drilling tonight. Hope you're ready for that. Titus chapter number 2, verse 14. Maybe on the screen, we'll see. But Titus chapter number 2, in verse number 14, listen to this. There's the word iniquity. Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous unto good works, or zealous of good works. The word, another word for sin is iniquity. The word iniquity refers to that which is altogether wrong. It's iniquity. And so the Bible says, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from what is altogether wrong and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous unto good works. And so the Lord is sanctifying us, not positionally. We're already sanctified, set apart for him. Positionally, we're a child of God. But realistically or practically, he is sanctifying us. He is purifying unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Another name for sin is error. 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 6. Listen to this. 1 John 4, 6. We are of God, He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Basically, this verse is teaching us that we can distinguish those who embrace the truth from those who do not. The spirit of error. That word error is to have disregard for that which is right or to stray from the norm. Error. It means to stray from piety. Error means to stray from orthodoxy. And so another word for sin is error. And that's what our deprived nature does. It commits error. It strays from the norm. It strays from piety or orthodoxy. So there's error, another word for sin. There's iniquity, another word for sin. There is transgression, another word for sin. Again, we're talking about the manufacturing of depravity. And then there's the word sin. 1 John chapter number 1, listen to this, verse number 8. 1 John 1, 8. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you. Oh, I'm sorry. Hold on. Let me back up. Do I got it right? Did I have it right? Hold on. Where am I at? 1 John. Oh, that's 1 John 2, 8. All right. Thank y'all. Look at you. Thank you, Brother Randy. Thank God for Brother Randy. All right, I'm here now. 1 John 1, 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. So John is writing and saying, hey, we are all sinners still, even as believers. If we say we have no sin, then we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. But that word sin, it means to miss the mark. To fall short. It's like someone in archery who's aiming for the bullseye. And he lets go of the arrow. Here's the bullseye. There goes the arrow. And so every day we are aiming for the mark of God's holiness. And how many times do we hit the bullseye? You know, you don't have to say anything. You don't have to raise a hand. Don't say anything. Many times we miss the bullseye, don't we? We miss the bullseye. Whether it's something that we should have done, we didn't do, or whether it was something that we did that we shouldn't have done. We are missing the bullseye, therefore we need a Savior. So sin is missing the mark, falling short of what God has demanded. You say, well, Brother Justin, I don't miss the mark. Well, the Bible says we've all missed the mark, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So we're in this thing together tonight. We are all just a bunch of saved sinners. Someone said one time, oh, Justin, I think it was even a family member one time, you think you're perfect. I said, I'm not perfect. I'm just forgiven. But I'm glad you've seen something in me, though. And so there's the word sin. But then here's another word for sin, is wickedness. Wickedness. Romans 1:29. Listen to this. Romans chapter number 1, verse 29. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers. Look at the next word. It says in verse 30, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who know in the judgment of God that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. That's the kind of world we're living in. But you know what? In our very nature, we have the potential of all of those things. Our humanity is depraved. We are wicked, the Bible says in that verse number 29, wickedness. We have the potential of doing all these things that the world does. The word wickedness refers to the fruit produced or the works produced because of an inward nature within man, which is evil. So we all have this wicked, sinful nature. Some may think, well, I just don't have that, and I'm here to tell you, you do. You do. We all have the potential. We were watching 48 Hours this afternoon. Family was, and this dad was on there, and he says, my son just does not have the capacity to do such a thing. It was a terrible episode. They're all terrible, 48 Hours, but this one particular, a family's house was set on fire. They were shot and killed first. Their house was set on fire. They took one of the young girls and put her in a wheelbarrow and torched her body. It was terrible, terrible, terrible. And the dad said, my son is not capable of doing such things. And I'm like, oh, you ain't got a clue. Any of us are capable of doing anything. And so we see that we all are capable of wickedness. We have this inward nature that's evil. And then there's the word evil. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians 5. Listen to this. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5 and verse number 22. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Evil is that which opposes God and all that is truth and right. And so the Bible says to abstain from that. Refrain from that. But evil is definitely something that is manufactured from depravity. There's ungodliness. Romans chapter number 1. Verse number 18. Romans 1, verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Ungodliness. Ungodliness refers to lack of respect of God and His holiness. Ungodliness. And again, we're talking about the manufacturing of depravity. We already talked about the meaning of depravity, and tonight the topic is dealing with depravity. And so definitely transgression, iniquity, error, sin, wickedness, evil, ungodliness, they're all words for sin, which is manufactured by depravity. Then there's the word disobedience. Ephesians 2:2. Ephesians 2:2. Listen to this. Wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Disobedience here refers to the rebellion of the heart and a refusal to be guided by the commands of God. Disobedience is rebellion against the revealed will and word of God. Disobedience. And our flesh tonight wants to be disobedient. We don't want to do the will of God. We don't want to honor the word of God. Our flesh doesn't, because our flesh is contrary to God. You say, well, I want to live for God. I want to walk in God's will. I want to obey the Word of God. You do, because that's God in you. We can't claim, remember, we can't claim any kind of right doing or any kind of righteousness. The only thing righteous about me is Jesus. You take Jesus out of me, I'm corrupt, miserable, and hell-bound, and so are you tonight. See, when we begin to understand the shape we're really in, we are moving towards victory little by little. Disobedience, but then there's the word unbelief. In Matthew 13:58, right quick. Listen to this, Matthew 13:58. And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. That's a good verse for a sermon. And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Unbelief is failure to trust in God. Failure to trust in God. A person asked one time, Brother Justin, what's the unpardonable sin? What sin can God not forgive? I said, He can forgive every sin but one. That's the sin of unbelief. The unpardonable sin. Meaning, if someone doesn't believe that Jesus is the Savior of the world, how can they be saved? They can't be saved. And so in order for... And listen, Jesus can forgive all sin, but that one thing, the sin of unbelief, it's not believing that Jesus is the Son of God. It's not believing that He's the way to heaven. That's the only thing that can't be forgiven, and that's only because you got to believe it. You got to believe it. There's unbelief. Our natural tendencies is not to believe. Our natural tendencies is to not believe God, not trust the Lord. Manufacturing of depravity. Then there's the word lawless. Lawless. And that's in 1 Timothy 1:9. 1 Timothy 1:9 tonight. Listen to this. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient. For the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers. How about that? It's not a verse read that often. The word lawless is open rebellion and disregard for the Word of God. Lawlessness refuses to acknowledge the Word of God. There is a lot of lawlessness in our day, isn't there? Those who refuse to acknowledge God or believe His Word. A lot of lawlessness. All right, so we see those are just different words for the word sin. The manufacturing of depravity. Depravity manufactures sin, and those were just different words. Now, as we study the subject of depravity and define sin, we must understand that man has a sin nature, as we have been talking about. Man commits sinful acts because he is by nature a sinner. Man is born a sinner. Not only is man born a sinner, but at the very moment of conception, the sinful nature is passed on to the individual in the womb. Listen to this. David says in Psalm 51:5, Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. That is the meaning of this statement when David mentioned this. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. So at the very moment of conception, the sinful nature is passed to the individual in the womb. When Adam sinned in the beginning, it affected all of his descendants. Adam was not created a sinner. He was created in innocence. However, he was created with the potential to sin, and he did. You know that account in Genesis 3. He was given a test in the garden and failed God. Adam and Eve did. His failure plunged the whole human race into depravity. The moment Adam sinned, he died spiritually. And all men born from Adam are sinners. And so we are all born spiritually dead tonight. Spiritually dead. The Bible describes the weakness and sinfulness of the flesh in the following ways. Listen to this. And these things refer to the sinful nature of man. Paul says in Romans 7:18, For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. If you're not there, turn there, Romans 7. Verse number 18, I'll read that again. For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. And so Paul here is describing the weakness and sinfulness of the flesh, referring to the sinful nature. Through the rest of these verses, verse 14 down through verse number 25, Paul describes the struggle he had with his flesh. And that is the sin nature within him that creates this problem. It's the sin nature that's within us that creates our warfare and our problem. Verse 19, the Bible says, "For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do." And so Paul here is describing, and he says that, you know, I want to do good, but I don't find myself doing good. I find myself doing evil. The things I don't want to do, I do. The things I should do, I don't do. This is the Apostle Paul's talking here. Okay, is it just me tonight, or can we all of us identify with Paul? I want to do good, but I find myself doing bad. And I should be doing good, but I'm doing bad. And Paul says that this struggle is coming from the inside, and it's the sinful nature. He says, "There is no good thing that dwells in me." Verse 20 says, "Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me." And you better rest assured, anytime you go to do good, there's going to be evil there. And evil and good is both within us. "For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin." And so Paul here, he's describing the struggle he had with his flesh and says it is the sin nature within him that creates this problem. He found himself doing things he didn't want to do and not doing the things he should. And so Paul says, "Now if I do that, I would not. It is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me," as we just read. This is the sin nature. And Paul further on says, "So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin." The flesh is under the law of sin. Our natural tendencies, our sin nature, it is under the law of sin. The question is, what is the law of sin? So since Paul makes this statement, "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord, so then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin." What is the law of sin? Well, it's described in several verses in different ways, and I'm not going to have us turn to all these verses, but I do want to mention some. This is the law of sin that we are under. "The soul that sinneth, it shall die." Ezekiel 18:4. "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Romans 6:23. "The wages of sin is death." That's the law of sin. Men die because of sin. Even us that are saved, we will die because we possess sin, and sin possesses our nature. We have that sinful nature, and because of that, we will die one day unless Jesus comes back first. James 1:15 says, "Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." Again, Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Sin is universal. And Paul describes the wicked nature and lifestyle of sinners even more throughout Romans chapter number 3, verse 10 through 18. And again, we just mentioned verse number 23. But also Galatians 5:19 through 21, he's talking about this sin nature. But the law of sin is basically death. Death. He says we Again, our verse in Romans 8:25, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin, that which leads to death. He says, I'm a sinner by nature, so I'm going to sin. There's going to be this battle because of depravity. And so we see that there. These passages speak of the works of the sinful nature. Men commit these sins because their depraved nature. Romans 7:14, don't turn there. The Bible says, but I am carnal, sold under sin. Of course, this statement speaks of the state of all men. We are all sold under sin because Adam sold us all into sin. We are sinners in Adam. And so the law of sin is the established rule and condition that all men have a sinful nature that is wicked, corrupt, subject to sin, and due of this will cause the fleshly body to die one day. That is the law of sin and everything that follows. Sin affects both the lost and the saved. The lost person in his sinful and depraved state is condemned to eternal hell. The Christian has been redeemed from his sinful condition, and we have the ability to overcome and was made righteous through the blood of Jesus. Praise the Lord for that. That we were redeemed from our sinful nature. Doesn't mean we won't struggle with it. Just means that we don't have to make a payment for it one day. We have been redeemed, made righteous. And we have the ability to overcome our sinful nature. We now have a new standing with God the Father. He is a new creature in Christ Jesus. Again, 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. What a blessing. Now, there is the battle of the two natures. We have the God nature, and we have the sin nature. The nature of Adam, which is sinful, and the nature of God, which is divine. That's why we struggle. That's why we battle. Is because of the battle of these two natures. Someone said one time, it's like two wolves on the inside. Whichever one I feed the most will be dominant the most. And so remember that. This is the reason for the spiritual battle that Christians face. Paul says the flesh and the spirit are contrary to each other. Turn to Galatians, if you would, to chapter number 5 for a moment. Galatians 5. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. Listen to this. Galatians 5, 16. Paul says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth or battles against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. That's why we cannot please God, because we're pleasing the flesh, if we're pleasing the flesh. There's a battle going on. And Paul tells us to walk in the Spirit. What is walking in the Spirit? Walking in the Spirit is obeying God. Walking in the Spirit is taking in the Word of God. Walking in the Spirit is communicating to God in prayer. Walking in the Spirit is feeding your spiritual man. It's walking in step with the Spirit. The Bible says, if we, verse 25, if we live in the Spirit, if we're saved, let us also walk in the Spirit. Just obey the Spirit. It's walking in the Spirit. And so there's this struggle. Verse 18 says, but if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. We don't have time to get into all this, but Jesus was the fulfillment of our law. Therefore, we're not bound to the law. But on the same token, those who are in the Spirit do not need the confines of the law. You're walking in the Spirit, you don't need to reread the Ten Commandments to know what God wants you to do, because you're going to be led of the Spirit. You're going to do right. So we see that, but if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. All these things. Look at verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. These are the things that can be done in the flesh. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things, now hold on a minute, shall not inherit the kingdom of God. We're not trying to provoke any questions tonight or any doubts. But on face value, just in face value, the Bible says, if I do these things, I'm not going to heaven. That's what it looks like, right? Look at verse 21 again. Envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Face value, it could make you doubt your salvation, if you're really saved, because it appears like if I do any of these things, then I'm not going to heaven. But you've got to read it in context. That's how you read the Bible, in context, in the chapter, in the flow. This conduct is not the natural conduct of a Christian. It doesn't mean we're perfect, but this is not the natural conduct of a Christian. Verse 22, here's the natural conduct of a Christian. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. When we got saved, what does baptism portray? Death, burial, resurrection of Jesus. When we got saved, the old man died, was buried. We experienced a spiritual resurrection. And so those affections have been crucified, have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. And so, although it is possible to do those things, it is not the natural conduct of a Christian. And so there's a struggle going on between the old man and the new man. And so there's this struggle with two natures. And we read that here in Galatians. Paul also says we have no confidence in the flesh. Philippians 3:3. The sooner we realize that, the better. Do you have confidence in your flesh? The days you wake up and say, oh, I'm not going to do this today. I don't have time to read my Bible and pray, and I just know I'm not going to do this today, and you do it. You know why you do it? Because you had confidence in your flesh, you wouldn't do it. Those who live lives that are victorious are those who know that their flesh can fail any second of any day. They put up guardrails in their life. They put up safety measures. They feed the spiritual man. They're not perfect, but they know they can blow it. And so, therefore, they feed the spiritual man. And so we see all these things here in the Scripture. And of course, I love Galatians 6 and verse number 9. Paul says, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Let us keep on going after holiness and righteousness and going after what is right and doing right. We will mature in due season. There is a reward at the right time. And so all these things we're looking at. Paul, he says he has no confidence in the flesh. The believer For the believer, sin can rob his joy, damage his testimony, limit how God can use him in Christian service, hinder revival from coming to the church, and can even bring premature death. Sin can do that. Thus, the law of sin is still present, for sin brings death, shame, sorrow, and defeat. Let me mention one more thing tonight. We'll bring it to a close. Not only there's the phrase, the law of sin, and again, we're talking about the manufacturing of depravity here. And we begin by talking about different words of sin in the Bible. And we talked about the law of sin. Now, what about where the Bible says under sin? Under sin. Romans 3, 9 says this, "What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise, for we have before proved, both Jews and Gentiles, that they are all under sin." A common connection between the law of sin and under sin. The term under sin refers to the state in which man has been placed because of Adam's transgression. God says that all are under sin. In the garden, Adam was in a state of innocence, but the very moment he sinned, he was placed in a state of sin. His condition was now a sinner. All men are concluded in sin and unbelief. The whole world lieth in wickedness, the Bible says. Paul teaches that all men are identified with Adam in his sin, Romans 5. And in fact, we're in Romans, where are we at? Romans 3. Turn over to Romans 5 just briefly. Romans 5. The whole world lieth in wickedness. Paul teaches that all men are identified with Adam in his sin. The verses in Romans 5, Romans chapter 5 in its entirety actually is a very great chapter. It talks about Adam, because of his sin, condemnation came upon all, and that by one man, Jesus Christ, all men can be made righteous who trust him as their Savior. Romans 5 in verse number 17, listen to this. "For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, Adam, much more they which received abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in the life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous." Praise the Lord tonight for that. Jesus made right what Adam messed up. "Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where," praise the Lord for this, "but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord." There is sufficient saving grace tonight. There is sufficient grace to have victory over sin. And what a blessing that is tonight, that although we are positionally at one time we were under sin, we still deal with sin, but we have the ability to overcome sin. I know that's a whole lot in one dose, but it has to be given. So we see that Jesus Christ made right what was made wrong in the very beginning. Man is under sin. Then there's the law of sin. Again, we were talking about the manufacturing of depravity. What does depravity manufacture? Sin. We read all the different definitions of sin. And then we talked about the meaning of depravity, which is basically just wickedness because of the original sin in the garden that was passed on to us. Thank God tonight for Jesus. That those of us that are saved, we are positionally a child of God. We are as sanctified as we're ever going to be. There's nothing I can do to make me more righteous than I am. There's nothing I can do less to make me any more worthless than I am. I'm just made righteous in Jesus' eyes, and so are you. And so tonight we can deal with our depravity. Does anybody else struggle with depravity? Anybody else struggle with this on the inside, warring and going back and forth? There's an old book. Has anybody ever heard of Watchman Nee? It was a Chinese Christian. He wrote a book called The Normal Christian Life, I believe it is. The whole book is about the book of Romans. It's about the struggle, the warfare, the fight. And he says that it is the normal Christian life. All of this is normal tonight, church. It's all normal. We're in this battle together. That's why we come together. And that's why we exhort one another. That's why we, every time the doors are open at the church, we're here. And we have a message. We have a song to sing. And that's so we can sharpen one another as iron sharpens iron. Because we're living in a desperately wicked world. We have wickedness on the inside of us. And so because of those things, we're to come together and be a blessing and a help to one another and share God's word. Let's pray. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you for who you are, for what you do, Lord. And Lord, I thank you for the lesson tonight. God, no doubt these things are better taught slowly and over time than quickly all at one time. But I pray that we could at least just understand with what we're dealing with. We can't put any confidence in the flesh. We must depend upon you. Doesn't mean we don't enjoy life. Doesn't mean we walk around with our heads down every day. It just means that we are dependent upon you. And so, Father, help us abide in you as the branch abides in the vine. And, Father, help us walk in victory. We love you tonight, and we thank you. In Jesus' name we do pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen and amen. Anything to mention before we close? Anything further? All right. Well, you were good listeners tonight. Thank you so much. And like I said, we'll be gone Sunday, but we'll be back for service this time next week, and we'll get into something else. Maybe we won't create any more questions than we have to, but whenever you dig into doctrines like that, sometimes you do come across questions.